Hello.
Hi, Special Toddy.
Hey, how you doing, man?
I'm doing pretty well. How are you?
Good to talk to you.
You too. I appreciate your time.
Thank you. I appreciate you caring about it.
Are you on speakerphone or
I'm not a speakerphone.
Okay, I was just curious.
No, it's not a speakerphone.
Okay, I was just curious because I can't hear you all that well. So,
she can't hear me like that, yet.
But I mean, I can hear you okay. I just thought maybe there's a way you could maybe speak a little louder or turn. Turn the volume up or something.
Yeah, I'll try to speak louder.
Okay, great. Again, thank you for your time. I really appreciate it. Could you spell your first and last names for me, please?
My first name. You want to start with my first name?
Mm-hmm.
As A-H-M-E-D.
And your last name?
And the last name is P-O-T-T-I.
Okay. And what is your MOS?
It's called 09 Lima.
Okay.
09 Lima.
Okay. So you're a linguist?
Yes.
Okay. Okay. And how long have you been
in New York? We are linguists and...
Go ahead.
So we are linguists and cultural advisors.
And what advisors? Cultural advisors. Got it. Okay.
Yes. Like, we part of the military intel.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. And how old are you?
I'm 29, man.
Okay. And how long have you been in the Army?
It's going to be, it's like 2 years now.
Okay. And how long are you enlisted for?
It's like 8 years, three years and a half active, and the rest reserve.
Okay. And the rest in the IR.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. So your initial enlistment was for about three and a half years? Okay. And when did you, can you first tell me about your background? You were born in Italy, but you were raised in Iraq. Is that correct? Specialist Toddy?
Hello?
Hi, Specialist Toddy.
Hey, ma'am. How you doing?
I'm doing well. How are you?
Good. Just trying to do this.
That's okay. I'm sorry we got disconnected. Again, I'm sorry. Can you tell me, I asked you, you were born in Italy and raised in Iraq, correct?
Yes.
Okay. And so how old were you, where in Italy were you born?
I was born in Ancona, northeast Rome.
How do you spell that?
Ancona is A, A N, C, O, N A.
I'm sorry, T as in tango or K as in kilo?
I will spell it again. Like A as alpha, N as nano, C as Charlie.
Okay.
O.
Okay.
O as Oliver.
Uh-huh.
N as Nano.
Uh-huh.
A as Alpha.
Okay.
Ancona,
Italy. Okay.
Yeah.
When and how old were you when your family moved to Iraq?
I was like 5 years old.
Okay. And did you grow up in Baghdad or somewhere else?
Yes, Baghdad. I go over Baghdad.
Okay. Okay. And so tell me, if you don't mind, how old were you, I guess, in 2003, and how did you get involved working as an interpreter with U.S. forces?
Well, 2003, I was just going to the college. Like, before the war happened, Operation mm-hmm. Iraqi Freedom, mm-hmm. I was just going to the college, mm-hmm. and you know, if the war didn't happen, like when you become 18 years old, in Saddam Hussein system, after you finish the high school, you have to serve in the Iraqi military, which like is like you forced to do it. But
right.
I guess I got lucky, and the war happened and stopped that. Like I won't be like there is no one like have to serve. And the Iraqi military has to be forced because of the war. And
right.
I went to the college. I went to the college in Baghdad, University of Technology in Baghdad. I studied electromechanical engineering. So after the college is finished, in the middle of the college, when I was through the college in 2005,
okay.
one of my uncles, he was working with the U.S. Marines.
Okay.
He was an Iraqi officer, and the U.S. Marine promote him from lieutenant colonel to colonel because he hoped that he reform the Iraqi police in Baghdad, and it's called the MOI,
mm-hmm.
like reform the MOI in Baghdad.
Yep.
But sadly, because he was getting a lot of threatened messages on his phone, like because the Al-Qaeda preferring anybody is like from the old Iraqi army, but going back to the military again and helping the U.S. forces, the coalition forces, he's kind of traitor. So they keep threatening him a lot and on the phone, but I didn't know about it. So sadly, he gets killed by them from Al-Qaeda.
Oh my God.
And after 6 months, yeah, after 6 months, they killed my other uncle. Like, in 6 months, I lost two of members of my family because, one, the same of them was in the military. And I found myself, me and my youngest brother, is like, you know, in Iraq, when your family side, your father's side, like, my dad passed away when I was 8 years old. In Baghdad, and I found myself like lost all my family, majority of my family, my dad's side, and it was kind of rough because in Iraq is like it's become after 2003, it's kind of hard like to live like with family with not a lot of men in it, like
right.
not a lot of, yeah, so. Sorry, I guess like my mom, my brother, my younger than me, he's in English art school, like college.
Mm-hmm.
And my mom, she was like supporting me, like, hey, like, why don't you go like with the Marines, work with the Marines because it's become like dangerous and not safe for you guys to stay around, and like they already targeted your two uncles. And we lost them. So my brother went, and I went with him. And when I went with the, when it was in end of 2008,
okay.
I went to the post Al-Assad, like what I am now.
Right.
It's like here again. Yeah. I went to Al-Assad, which is kind of like west of Iraq.
Right.
And I was like, it's kind of like really kind of like experience for me. Every time I remember, it's just kind of like I'd be like, wow, like I didn't expect it's gonna be have a lot of things change in my life since I did that, because when I went, it's like I see it's like they did for me first the test in English, and after this they did for me security background check, and they did for me after they make sure I'm good to go, they did for me medical inspection and the Marines, and after that they was like I get to introduce to them threatened alive. I still remember when they the first they did for me, they threw a boot for me and the uniform. I didn't even know how to tie my boots because it's kinda like really rare for me. Like
right.
It was kinda like something never done it in my life. So first mission for me was with, I still remember the lieutenant was LT Smith. He's from Virginia. He's like, I didn't even know how to close the door for the Humvee. He's like, I've never been in a military Humvee before. So they helped me close the door of the Humvee. The TC have to close the door of the Humvee for me because I've never been in a, like, doing any missions in my life.
Right.
So was the first mission for me. After, that was the first thing for me, and I moved after that to Basra. They moved me like to south of Iraq, it's called Camp Basra.
Mm-hmm.
And I spent a long time in Camp Basra. I finished like almost like 6 years, like 5-6 years in Basra with the troops, till I get one of the families NCO, like mom and dad. They kind of like they accept me and the family NCO accept me as like and I'm one of them. Like their son, and I become one of them, and I went to the state. They helped me to come to the state, and a Marine captain helped me too. He used to know Major. He's in the same team with Major Step. He helped me to get my everything, my paperwork, and this family too, and the NCO. And I went to the state in Alabama, and in Alabama I get to introduce to the like Southern culture, like the Southern hospitality and everything. I lived with the family of my with my NCO, and they never accept me to go nowhere. Just like they let me, they tell me you stay with us, you're our son, and they never let me pay a dollar for nothing. And like they are my family, they kind of like adopt me. And I lived with them till I joined the army.
Okay,
like during the army. Yeah.
Okay, let me stop you right there before we go on. So you started working for military forces in 2008. How long were you at Al-Asad before you got moved to Basra?
I was like 4 or 5 months. Like 4 or 5 months.
Okay, so you weren't at Al-Asad for that long, and then you went down to Basra.
Yeah.
Right. Okay.
Yeah.
And then you said you were at Basra for 5 to 6 years?
I spent in Basra like 5 years. Like, okay. I remember, like, we shut it down, Basra, with the U.S. forces. Like, we shut it down. And after that, I got my visa. I went to the States. Yeah. I spent in Basra at least 5 years.
Okay. And what year did you come to the States?
It was 2000. It was in the beginning of January 2012, something like that.
Okay. And was it just you, or did your family, were they able to come too? Was it just yourself?
Well, was me, and after this, after a month, my brother get help from the Marine captain too.
Okay.
With the same with Major Step, I asked the Marine captain to help my brother too. Same Major, his name Captain Christy Babin. He used to be a lieutenant that time. And after that, my family in Alabama, like the families, kind of adopted me. They helped me did the paperwork for my mom and my little brother. And they brought my mom and little brother, but it took them like a while. And after this, I never saw my mom for 2 years. 2 years and a half, and and my mom, it was hard for me, like, not seeing my mom for that long, but thank God she got it. By the time that my mom, she make it to the state, she came to the state in my birthday.
Aww.
It's like the same day in my, it's just God made it to be like this, and
that's
when
right.
She came to see my birthday, I went, and my same birthday, I was like just, she was able to attend my graduation and basic training in the army.
Wow.
It was really mean a lot to me. It was really like my family in Alabama, they get to see their graduation and my mom and my little brother.
Okay, that's great. And so tell me... So you came in 2012, and then your brother came as well. He was the one that you went. He also was an interpreter, right?
Yes.
Okay. And I'm sorry, let me back you up. The captain who helped you, what was his name again?
Chris DeBabin.
I'm sorry, say that again.
Chris.
Chris, C-H-R-I-S?
Yes.
And his last name?
And his last name, DeBabin, like T-H-O-B-B, like DeBabin, like, you know, DeBabin, the word DeBabin. Is that clear?
Not really. I'm sorry.
It's like, so how do you spell Tibetan, sir? Tibetan. T-H-B-O-B. That is O in his name. Yeah. It will, the Latinity will find out how he spell his name.
Okay, is he
but
there? Okay, I don't need that right now, but, If I can get that correct, that would be great. And then your family in Alabama, it was two NCOs, you said?
It was my NCO, his family, his mom, his dad. He become like my papa, like my granddad. He is an airborne instructor. And his mom is become like my mama, was my granny. Like, she always cooked for me and, like, Thanksgiving and everything and... It's like I go to Alabama games with them and, like,
nice.
I go to, like, yeah, like, I celebrate Christmas and everything. It's really awesome. It's like, really, I really, like, miss them so bad.
That's great that you found a second family. What is your NCO's name?
My NCO's name is Brandon.
Last name?
Teague.
How do you spell that?
Teague is T as the rectangle.
Yeah.
And E as echo.
Mm-hmm.
A as alpha.
Uh huh.
G as go, the word go.
Uh huh.
And U as the, like, you know, U. Mm-hmm. And E as echo.
Okay. So.
And the other one, like, the other one is related to him, is the name Tim Tingle.
Tim, you said?
Yeah, Tim, T-I-M.
Uh-huh.
And Tingle is like T as Tingle,
uh-huh.
And I as India, and N as Navarro, and G as Go,
uh-huh.
And L as Lima,
mm-hmm.
And E as Echo.
Okay. So they're related, you said?
Yeah, like like kind of like the, like one family.
Oh, okay. So are they both Marines or are they Army?
Brandon Teague used to be he's a Marine former.
Okay.
And he's now in he's now Army Reserve, and he's in Gadsden, like Alabama area, Gadsden Police Department. He's now narcotic for 20 years now.
Okay.
Yeah.
So now he used to be a Marine. Now he's in the Army Reserve.
Yes.
Okay.
And
what was his rank in the Marine Corps? I'm sorry.
He was, when I met him that time in Basel, he was in the Army. Deployed as Army. Yeah.
Okay.
He was, his rank is in Sergeant E5.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
And Tim Tingle is the Army 2.
Okay.
He's E6.
Okay. Okay. So, but you've been living with them, or living with Brandon anyway?
Yes, I live with Brandon. I live with Tim, till long time. The only way, like, to make me and I'm away from them because I joined the Army, but I'll never get a chance. I go back to see them.
Okay, and so
before I came to Iraq, they flew to California from Alabama to they come like see me before I get deployed. Mm-hmm. So it was kind of mean a lot to me.
Right. That's
too.
Great.
Yeah.
And so when did your mom and your younger brother get to the U.S.?
My mom get to the U.S. and my younger brother in. Like my mom, she just finished, like last year.
Okay, so 2014?
Yeah, 2014. Like last year she got to the state.
Okay.
And my little brother too.
Okay.
Yeah.
Where do they live?
Now my mom,
mm-hmm.
she, when I went because I when my first mom came, she came with a family in Alabama.
Okay.
And after this, like when I went to when I stationed, because the army, I had to go to California.
Mm-hmm.
So my mom, she was my dependent. So she came with me because she needed to do like a lot of check with the doctors because she has diabetes.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. All right.
Yeah. So my little brother now, he's now, and my little brother and my family in Alabama, like watching my mom, like she's like with my mom.
Okay. Okay. So when did you join the army in 2014, last year?
Yes, in 2014,
okay.
January.
And where are you? Which unit are you assigned to?
I'm assigned to. It's called the unit, the big unit. It's called the 11th ACR. But my company, my company name is called 51st.
51st.
The Interpreters Tycho.
Okay, I'm sorry. What was the unit again?
Is that clear? 51st, Tycho, is T as Tango.
Uh-huh.
I as Indiana,
uh-huh.
India. And C as Charlie.
Uh-huh.
And O as Orlando.
Okay. 51st, Tycho.
Yes, that's the interpreters and translator unit.
Okay. But you're part of 11 ACR?
Yes, we're part from the 11th ACR.
Okay. So you're at Fort Irwin,
called,
then, is your home station?
Yes, Fort Irwin.
Okay.
Yes.
Okay. And so does your mother and your younger brother, do they live near Fort Irwin, or are they in Alabama while you're deployed?
One now is, in Alabama, and... and the other one now, he's with my mom, because my mom, she couldn't leave California because she have a lot of doctor appointments she has to keep up with.
Right.
I set up for her all the doctor appointments before I get deployed.
Okay.
And she have, main doctors watching her because her blood sugar was really bad. And so she have to go keep up with the doctor's schedules over there.
Okay.
So the only reason she didn't want... She wasn't able to go back to Alabama because there's doctors.
Okay. And so where in Alabama is the other brother? Is it the older brother?
He's the middle brother.
Oh, you're the oldest.
I'm the oldest.
Okay.
Yes.
So the middle one is the one who also was an interpreter, and then the youngest one is the one who came with your mom last year to the U.S. Is that right?
Yeah, he was in Alabama too. And I guess he told me he's going to move to Tennessee because his job now is going to be in Tennessee. Yeah.
Okay.
Because he's kind of a computer guy, and
okay.
he's now working with Verizon. Yeah.
Oh, cool. What is your middle brother's name?
His name, they give him actually a name, Toadie. This is the name that they gave it to me in the troops. Them, my family gave it to me.
Yeah.
And my brother, they give him name is called Striker, the Striker.
At the
because
vehicle?
He was with, the vehicle, because he worked with the Striker unit.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
What is his real name? Oh,
his
would
real
you rather
name
I
is
not
like,
use that? Okay.
No problem. You can use it, but I just want to make it easy for you.
Okay. What's his real name?
Yeah. As the MU... M as mango.
Uh huh.
U.
Mm-hmm.
D as Delta.
Mm-hmm.
H as hotel.
Uh-huh.
E as Echo, and R as Romeo.
Okay, and his last name?
His last name is like F as Fox,
uh-huh.
A as Alpha,
uh-huh.
D as Delta,
uh-huh.
H as Hotel,
mm-hmm.
E as Echo, L as Lima.
Okay. Is that your last name as well? Or you
yes.
go by Toddy?
That's supposed to. I just go by Toddy.
Okay. All right. And so the middle brother is the one who's in Alabama.
I guess now he moved to Tennessee because his job, that's what I think.
Okay.
Okay.
And when you say Alabama, are you talking, like, where in Alabama?
Gadsden.
Where, I'm sorry?
Gadsden. Gadsden.
Okay. I'll look it up. Okay. And
yeah,
then
it's like start with G.
Okay.
And the Florence. Florence and Gadsden.
Okay, and your younger brother is with your mom near Fort Irwin?
Yes.
Okay,
yes.
And what is his name?
His name, Ali. Is A-L-I.
Okay, and then same last name as Fadl?
Yes.
Okay, what's your mom's name?
As my mom's name is W,
mm-hmm.
as Whiskey,
mm-hmm.
and I as India,
uh-huh.
S as
Sam
Sierra,
uh-huh.
and A as Alpha and L as Lima.
Okay, same last name.
No, she actually has different last name, which is I don't really like. This different last name than my like they don't go. She's mixed Arabic and Persian, so they don't go by the last name of the husband. It's still with their, like, dad has, yes.
Okay. So can you give me her last name or no?
Yeah, I can, like, I can give you last name is M as the mango,
mm-hmm.
A as Alpha,
mm-hmm.
H
uh-huh.
as Hotel, and D as Delta,
uh-huh.
and I as India.
Okay. Okay, cool.
Mm-hmm.
So tell me, what made you decide to join the Army?
Well, to be honest with you, like, I got my, like I told you, I have my degree in engineering. I did the equivalent in the office is called in New York, like it's called WES,
mm-hmm.
to do the equivalent for the degree.
Mm-hmm.
By the time I did the equivalent for my degree, they give me credit for, like, for bachelor. In, like bachelor, like 4 years degree in engineering,
uh-huh.
but I found myself like since when I graduated college, I never worked as like my life as engineer. All what I worked in my life is just like doing missions and like being with the troops and like I felt always when I came to the state in all 12
mm-hmm.
till I joined the Army in all 14, I was missing the time like being like in with the Marines, being with the soldiers, doing the missions. I didn't expect I'm gonna miss it. And my I call them my step brothers now.
Yeah.
They really inspire me because I see them now like they still reservists, one of them, and he's still like a police department, and he put a lot on me, and he's like. Him play a lot of things in me. Like every time I go through a rough time, like what I remember him is like really give me a lot of motivation, inspire me.
Mm-hmm.
And he's really kind of a really tough guy and like really good guy and wise man. He's like Brandon. He's like 40 years old.
Mm-hmm.
And yeah, so it's like something like every like they gave me even. Like dog tags since I was interpreter, so I have like two dog tags. The dog tags when I used to be interpreter, the dog tags when I joined the Army, and I was like really miss it. And I always was my dream, actually to be honest with you. Before I when I was like interpreter here, I saw how the mission going on with the Marines and. It's really give me a lot of motivation. I said, like, okay, this is what I want to be. I want to be when I go to the States. I want to be, like, part of the troops. I want to do whatever they do. It's like, really, it was really a lot of people like I still in touch with them. They really put a lot on me. It's like they affect me a lot by the way how they are.
Yeah.
Like they really, you can see like a lot of, like to be honest with you, I was blessed because probably my mom's prayers. I met a lot of people like who they are really, really like decent in the Marines and the Army. They play, they played a lot of things, a lot of part in my life.
Right.
They was really like honorable people, really honest and like really like brave people. They really like deserve to be like respected and like one day I will have family and kids and I will talk to my kids about these people, like how good they are, what they doing, like, and that's why I guess like we are the best troops in the world now as the U.S. military, because we have this kind of people still in our military. Like we have really people like who they decent and they take responsibilities. They have the effect. That's why we are the number one military in the world.
Right. That's great.
Yeah.
And so tell me about when were you deployed?
Like this deployment is
mm-hmm.
like I've been here in Al-Assad. It's gonna be for me 2 months and a half.
Okay. Are you doing
but
9 months?
No, it's a year.
A year? Okay.
Yeah. I've been actually if I count Kuwait,
mm-hmm.
so it's been like 3 months now.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. And so what was it like coming back? Is this your first time back to Iraq since you left in 2012?
Okay. Yeah, it's first time. Actually, when the plane landed first in Baghdad, I was like, it's kind of like something I didn't expect it that I will ever come back. And now, like, as a U.S. soldier, like before, to be honest with you, I was, if I show you, I have pictures when I was local, like when I was interpreter, like
yeah.
not real soldier. I have pictures of it still on my phone. I was uniform with the Marines. They give you weapon.
Right.
The Army depends on the units. Some units, they give you weapon. Some of the units, they don't.
Mm-hmm.
But I didn't expect one day that I will be back here. And the feeling is like, it's like I'm like the God answered my prayers, like, okay, I was here one day and I wanted to be part of the U.S. military, really part of the U.S. military, because I described the interpreters by that time is called the unknown soldier or the unknown Marine, because you're doing the Marine job and you're doing the soldier job, but at the same time, like you go to the missions. But at the same time, you are not like you be uniform and weapon, but you are not actually you never went to a basic training, but you're doing this mission. And
right.
But when if you leave outside the wire, there is people from Al Qaeda and people extremists from the like Islamic radical people. They want to kill you, and it's like kind of you live this kind of life, like you be. Like you be like people like they're not supposed to know your identification because it's really, really dangerous on your life.
Right.
So it's kind of really kind of rough at the same time. And it's like you'll be have a pride that you I was having a pride like I've been through all that and I success that I got God answered my prayers that I get to the U.S. military. And I'm now with the people that I wanted to be with all my life since I started with them and my family that I was wanted to be with in Alabama and now back and make them the and actually the biggest thing, like my family in Alabama now and my mom, they are like so proud of me. Like every time my stepbrother talking to me, Brandon and Tim Tingle, they be like, we love you so much. We are so proud of you. You make us every day so proud of you, and when you come back, we're going to have a big party for you in Alabama.
Nice. That's great. That's awesome.
Yes. It's like really awesome for me.
And so when you well, can you tell me about running? When you, did you run into Major Stibb? He was the captain at the time when you were an interpreter. But
yes.
you saw Major yes. Stibb again.
Yes, I saw Major Stibb. Major Stibb is kind of one of the kind, to be
yeah.
honest with you. Major Stibb is kind of like really, like, I never met, like, when I first met Major Stibb in Iraq, I saw, like, a huge person. I
yeah.
find, like, when I'm standing next to him, I reach his hips. and he was, like, he was asking to be the gunny in the missions. Like he was, you know, with his rank, he don't have to be the gunny. He
right.
just be like a TC or like be sitting in the back. But when he was be the gunny, he was his. You see his body, like half of his body out of the from the Humvee because as huge as he, like kind of person. And actually, he need a extra body armor to enough you know, for his body. Like when he do the missions, so. I saw him and I see the way he's like interact outside in mm-hmm. the missions,
yeah.
and he's kind of like he's kind of put through his soldiers like he's really kind of person like he's fearless.
Mm-hmm.
Like if you have before any mission as a normal person, you'll be like kind of worried
mm-hmm.
or like you don't know what's gonna happen. But you see this guy, he's like more he go more when he's worried, more when he gets mad. When he go outside, like he's ready for action.
Yeah, that's funny.
So,
okay, so he's
when,
big personality.
When, yeah. Yes, he's like his personality is kind of like the more dangerous happen, more angry and mad he become. And you see, he's kind of give motivation, more motivation he give to the people around him, and you be like, wow, like you see this guy behind you, and he want to take like positions in the missions. Like special operations
mm-hmm.
that no one probably rarely requested. Like you want to be in the front, so I was like, wow, like this is really kind of awesome that you find someone like this and inspire you and like you make you like look at this guy like look what he's doing and you'd be like so proud to be part of like this team like that he's rolling with him. You'd be like,
right.
okay, like no worries, we have Major Stibb with us, or Captain Stibb.
Right. That's great.
Like, I met even an Iraqi lieutenant here. He's now a captain.
Mm-hmm.
He used to do with us. He's in Al-Assad now. He used to do with us the, like, we train them with Major Stibb, and we do the special operations with them. And if you hear how he, like, his opinion about Major Stibb, you will be surprised. You'd be like, wow, like, he was like Major Stibb. I never see a guy as a professional outside in combat as Major Stibb. He will let you like with that. This is from Iraqi captain.
That's great. And so when you
yeah.
saw him, you immediately knew who he was. You remembered him, and he remembered you.
Yeah. Well, yeah. I did. I don't. The way I am, I don't forget faces, especially
yeah.
the people I was with. So I spent first week for me. I was walking in the small chow that we have here, like it's a small room, they have tables in it. So when I walked in, I was about to sit down. So I see like a person, like he's so tall and he's like, and I look at him, it's like, oh, this face is so familiar. So I was like, and I saw the name is like Stibb. I was like, and but the rank is like Major, but I was like, oh, wow, my goodness, this Captain Stibb.
Yeah.
And since 09, that's like I said, yeah, that's him. I can remember his face. So I walked to him as like, sir, I just can't believe my eyes. Is that really you? And he's like, he look at me. He's like, oh, there is no way that you Tody. He's like, yeah, sir, that's me. And he's like, what are you doing? Are you in the army? He's like, yeah, yes, sir, I joined the army. And he's like, so I hugged him and sit down, and he's like, I tell him, sir, what team are you with? And by incidence, he was the same Marine team that I am with right now.
Oh, great.
It's called, yeah, like Team Marine 68, 68, 68 Marine.
Hmm. Interesting.
Yeah, it was really awesome. Yeah, really got, like, incidents that I will, like, you can really tell the world is a really small world we live in.
Yeah, no, that's definitely, that's pretty cool. That's awesome.
Yes.
So, have you seen anybody else that you used to work with? Because I understand he's back in the States now, right? Major state.
Yes, he
Okay.
went back to the state. I wish, I'm a little happy for him, but I wish like he was still here with me because
Yeah.
him being around is kind of really like really awesome for me. Every time I see him, make sure me and him remember or talk about old days.
That's cool.
Yeah,
And so
I saw yeah, I saw even my basic training when I went to basic training like as a cadet. I was walking through the defect with a drill sergeant. And in basic training, when you are like in basic training, you are not really a soldier yet. So you're
Right.
not allowed to talk to nobody and like you don't have much freedom. So we was having like the drill sergeant, he was giving us order to bring some MREs from inside the defect. So I walked inside the defect. It was the back doors of the defect. And I saw a drill sergeant, and he was E6 drill sergeant. And I looked at him, and his face was really familiar. But I couldn't able to stop and talk to him because, I told you in the basic training, you don't
Right.
have, like, the space to talk. So I went to grab the MRE, and I guess he recognized me when I was looking at him. And he came after me, and he's like, hey, you look so familiar. So my drill sergeant was standing next to me. So I look at him. He gets so close. So I remembered him, and I was like, I stood in parade rest, and I was like, it's so funny because I stood in parade rest, and I was like, drill sergeant. He was a specialist back in '09 when I was an interpreter in Iraq, and I was to lose his mind. He was like, are you serious? He was like, yeah, drill sergeant. I remember you. Your name is like that's your name, and he was with the. It was with the first. He was with the 4th ID unit from the Army, and he was like, "Oh my goodness, yeah, it's now. I still remember you, and I remember you now. And now you are a drill sergeant." And he's like, "What are you doing here?" I tell him like, "I'm the basic training. I'm going to be a soldier." And he's like, he took my name and my email, and he tell me whatever you need when you graduate, I come to your graduation and. We're still in touch, and all these people actually still on like my Facebook. If you see, is military Facebook. It's like all the people, the units that I work with, is like they become like a family for me. To be honest with you,
That's great. No, that's really cool. And so,
yeah, it's really.
do you think you might stay in the army or?
Yeah, if there is any problem, if I didn't stay in the army, that is, I don't know, like, but I'm thinking if one day I leave the army, I will be with my step brother in the police department in Gadsden, in Alabama,
Right.
because he's been 20 year, he was detective,
Right.
and the Gadsden Police Department, and he's now narcotic. So, and the SWAT team, the same SWAT team doing the operations in Gadsden, Alabama. So if I ever like left the army, but as far as I see myself staying in the army. But if I want to ever leave the army, that I will be with my stepbrother.
That's great. That's fantastic.
Yeah.
Well, that's awesome, Sister Stati. I'm really glad to hear that things are working out really well for you.
Yeah,
It is a
thank
small
God.
world, small army, right?
Yeah, small world, and I always wanted to like expose somebody to tell them about the way that I used to. Like for me, it wasn't like just walk to the recruiter office and like easy join the military, the U.S. Army. It was a long way for me till I spent, and the people who they helped me play a lot of part in my life, especially my family in Alabama. It was a long time for me, a long way came from all that, and to put this uniform, and the day I signed the contract was like I made it a surprise for my family in Alabama. I didn't tell them. So when I told I for the day when I signed the contract, so when I told them, there was like everybody was about to lose his mind. They did a party for me, and they cooked for me, and they do for me like the southern food, and my mama cooked for me like. A huge, big, like baked beans and the chicken soup and everything. They were so happy about me. I'm glad they are really proud of me, and I think I see, that's what I like. I love, like, I love now this, like this is my, like, state is my country. This is the people, they took care of me. This is my people now.
Yeah. Oh, that's great. That's, I'm really happy for you.
Thank you.
Great. Treasurer Stoddy, I think I have everything I need. Is there anything else you would like to add or think I need to know? You're working in Intel now. You're not really doing interpreting anymore, right?
Say it again, sorry.
Your job. I mean, you're not really an interpreter anymore. Are you doing Intel? Military intelligence?
I'm kind of like three things in the same time now. Like, I'm Intel. And now what I'm doing, like, kind of we doing, like, kind of infrastructures. Like, we get trained, so we train the Iraqi army.
Mm-hmm.
So when I get the train from the instructors, I'll be the instructors in the same time because I know the training,
mm-hmm.
and I break it down for them in their languages.
You know the language, right? Okay.
So because when you train them in their language, they be more, they may be more easy for them because the Iraqi army. People who they are, like, they join the Iraqi army, their education level is really low. So you have kind of like to break it down for them in the way you have to know their culture. You have to be cultural advisor. Like, I make sure, like, the people with me in the mission, they don't do anything because they don't know the culture. Some people, it's first-time deployment for them. And I make sure, like, everything going smooth and we call now the Iraqi army the friendly forces, that we make sure, like, we can get the stuff that we need from them, and we make our mission, as much as we be smooth with them, we can make our mission with them easy.
Right. No, that's fantastic.
Cool.
That's awesome.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Well, like I said, I think I have everything I need from you, unless there's anything else you want to add or think I need to know, Dr. Stoddy.
I just want to know, like, it's like for someone like been doing this, like for doing like interpreter thing, it's kind of like not easy being through all that. Like, it's kind of really was kind of rough time and good time, and like without someone, when we depend on God and you trust God, you can reach your dreams.
Right.
Things can happen. Mm-hmm. That's all what I need to say.
Okay. No, that's great.
Thank you for your time.
Oh, no, I really appreciate you taking the time to talk to me. I'm really glad things are working out for you. And I hope you have a good rest of your deployment.
Yeah.